Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of January 31st, 2021. The call to worship is taken from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. God our Savior showed us how good and kind He is. He saved us because of His mercy, and not because of any good things we have done. God washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave us new birth and a fresh beginning. God sent Jesus Christ, our Savior, to give us His Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Last week, we saw how praise to God is important. Not only because God is worthy of our praise, but because praise of God strengthens our walk with Him. Today, I would like to continue thinking about those things which build our relationship with God by looking at the characteristics of a Christian. The characteristics of a Christian. These are things which are foundational to our relationship with God. What are they? When Jesus was asked this question, what's most important? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, we read the question, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and he answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Matthew 22, 37. From this, we see the first characteristic of a follower of Jesus is love for the Lord. Love for the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 is Moses' summary of the first commandment, which he reminded the Israelites of in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7, as he is recalling all the Lord has done for them. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7, the first commandment says, You shall have no other God before me. The Lord God is to be our priority. The Lord is to be the priority of those who follow Him. The motivation for this comes out of the preface to the commandments, which we read in the previous verse. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6 says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God identifies Himself as their God. I am the Lord your God. Remember, He identified Himself to Moses as the God of his ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He also reminds the people that it is He who has just freed them from slavery in Egypt and brought them to the place where He directed Moses to go and free His people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Notice God didn't demand His people first accept His commandments and then He would free them. First, He frees them from slavery and then He enters into this covenant relationship with them. We see that God reached out to them in grace. I'm reminded of Paul's words in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still slaves, not in Egypt, but to sin, Christ died for us. We see God first extends grace and then our reasonable response is to respond in love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Deuteronomy 6:5 and Matthew 22, verse 37. The second characteristic of a follower of Jesus is obedience to the Lord. We can say we love God, but forget that love is not an emotion and is instead a choice which can be seen in our actions. The clearest actions which demonstrate love for God is our obedience to Him. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." We see here a key characteristic of a follower of Jesus is obedience to God's word. Now, some of you likely noticed that in looking to Jesus' reply to the question about which is the most important commandment, that I only gave the first half of Jesus' answer. The full text says, this is from Matthew 22, 37 to 40, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Luke chapter 10, verses 25 and following, records a similar conversation with an expert in the law, who then asked Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" Jesus answers by telling the story of the Good Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans did not get along. To a Jew, a good Samaritan, that term would have been considered a contradiction. Yet in Jesus' story, the Samaritan is the one who sacrifices his time, his money, and even his reputation to save a dying man, and he becomes the example of love to our neighbor. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he tells us, "You have heard the law that says, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as a true child of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much." Wow, I want to show my love for God through my obedience to his commands, but how can we love those who hate us? It's impossible. Let me take a response of Jesus a little out of context, because I think it also fits here. It's from Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." It is impossible for us to love our enemies, but not for God, and not for God working within one of his children. And this leads me to the third characteristic of a follower of Jesus. We've seen the first one is love for the Lord. The second one is obedience to the Lord. The third one is reliance on the Lord. Reliance on the Lord. A follower of Jesus will seek to love the Lord with their whole being, obey him with their whole heart, and rely on him for the strength and wisdom needed. Being a follower of Jesus requires more than knowledge of his teaching or our willpower. And the pre-Pentecostal disciples clearly demonstrate this truth. You could look, for example, in Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 to 36. There Jesus predicts his death and the disciples' desertion. But Peter tells Jesus he's wrong. "I'm not going to desert you." And the other disciples chime in as well. And then Matthew 26, 39 to 75, we see Peter denies knowing Jesus three times. And Jesus had told him, not only predicted his death, but that, "Peter, you will deny me before the rooster crows the third time." The Gospel of John, chapter 13, ends with Jesus predicting Peter's denial of him, 31 to 38. In chapter 14, Jesus comforts his disciples by telling them that he is going to prepare a place for them. Then from verse 15 to the end of this chapter, Jesus promises his disciples the Holy Spirit of God. This is chapter 14 of John, verses 15 to 31. Listen to how this section begins. Verses 15 and 16, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." John 14, 15 and 16. Does this sound familiar by now? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. These are the first two characteristics we looked at, love for the Lord and obedience to the Lord. Then Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit as our advocate, our helper. Jesus tells us more about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verses 5 to 15. There we learn that not only will the Holy Spirit be at work within us, guiding us into all truth, but the Holy Spirit will be at work in the hearts of people of the world, convicting of sin and convincing of coming judgment. In other words, we don't have to do it all in our own strength. God will be working in us, and God will be working around us as we rely on him. Isn't that great news? It sure is for a follower of Jesus who loves him and loves others. God's at work. It's interesting that between these two sections of teaching in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 on the coming and the work of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus includes the teaching of John chapter 15. John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. In it, we are reminded of God the Father's love and care for us, wanting to bring out the best in us. And Jesus makes it clear that this is only possible, how? As we rely on him. Listen to John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." In the second half of John chapter 15, this is verses 18 to 27, we are given additional information as to why we need to rely on Jesus. This is because his followers will be hated as he was. So depend upon him, obey him, and love him and one another deeply. To do all this for a lifetime, as we have seen, cannot come from within ourselves and develops as we regularly spend time with our Lord, in his word, in prayer, and with fellow believers. This is our fourth characteristic of a follower of Jesus, and that is devotion to the Lord. Devotion to the Lord. Devoted to the Lord and his mission. As we saw in John 15, verse 5, we must remain connected to Jesus to be fruitful for him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Psalm 127, one of the Psalms of Ascents, verses 1 and 2, comes to the same conclusion. It says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." The Apostle Paul, having come to understand God's saving love for him, responded with love, obedience, reliance, and devotion, saying in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." There's a final characteristic of a follower of Jesus. It is the chief characteristic of a follower of Jesus, and that is that Jesus is their Lord. Jesus is their Lord. How do we show this? We show this through our love for the Lord, our obedience to the Lord, our reliance on the Lord, and our devotion to the Lord. This is how we show Jesus is our Lord. By the way, Lord, L-O-R-D, we looked at love, L, obedience, O, reliance, R, and devotion, D. This is how we show Jesus is our Lord. The first step is to accept Jesus as your sin forgiver, and then follow him as your life leader, as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Master, through loving him, obeying him, relying upon him, and being devoted to him and his mission. Amen. Benediction I've chosen is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 from God's Word translation. Glory belongs to God, whose power is at work in us. By this power, he can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory belongs to God in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time and eternity. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. The Lord bless you and walk in his strength today.